Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half. I'm your host, Matt King, joined with my co-host, Mike Sheffer.
That's me.
And guess what, guys? We're sitting on a new set.
We're in our new studio.
Can you believe it? How many sets have we gone through? This is now like our fourth set.
I think it might be even more. We did the old house, the original set with the red table, or with the red curtains.
Our breakfast nook.
Yeah, the breakfast nook. Then we moved into the other room at...
which was like Grandma Chic.
Right, at the... same house.
Okay, but I consider that set still like the same set, even though we did move a location into.
So that was number two.
Okay.
Which was the couch. Let's call it the couch set.
Yes.
But then we moved that couch set to your living room, which was technically set number four. And then we moved from the couch set in your living room to...
oh my gosh, no, this is like the sixth set, man.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
That's what it takes to stay in the biz. You got to keep things interesting, keep things moving.
I am going to miss the desk. Or now I'm very leg conscious. You know me and my like skinny daddy long leg legs.
I didn't realize my socks were going to be showing again this time.
We got to up our sock game. We got to up our shoe game.
Yeah.
We got to up our pants game.
If there's any sock sponsors that want to hit us up, we can definitely include some socks.
How good are you at buying socks? Like, that's the worst with socks. When you have like so many, you're like, how long have I owned this pair of sock?
I'm constantly on the quest for a perfect sock, and I haven't found one yet.
Oh, I know what the perfect sock is.
What?
It's the Dickies sock.
You think so?
You know Jack Cook, our former editor.
Yeah.
He, every year, and I love that he does this, he buys a whole brand new amount of socks for the year.
So he just always has matching socks.
Yeah, I think so. Like your good standard white, what do you call them, crew socks?
Yeah, the ones that go like up to your shin, basically?
Yeah.
Or the ones that cut off at the ankle?
Ones that go up to your shin.
Okay,
the ones that cut off at your ankle. Who's like, do you rock like
short in the summertime, I feel like it gets so hot when you're wearing pants and socks up to here. It's like, why do you have dual layers here?
You get sweaty shins?
Yeah,
but But I think that's kind of a move, though. You wear like the shorts, but with like a little bit of a higher sock. Like
I can't pull it off.
You don't think so?
I have to like roll it down. I don't know. But the thing you taught me this, which was Todd's thing, is that you want colorful socks because it's just like a little air, a little way to give a little bit of color. It's like ties in the 50s.
It's a statement piece.
Yeah, but now I'm realizing maybe the green and the black is not. It's not the exact.
I mean, it's okay. Now, what about our stances? When you sit, you do very European style.
Is this
this is
European
very
set?
Italian talk show, I think. But like,
you do the cross
sometimes. But after I've had a few drinks, or I'm really enjoying the conversation, and then it goes to classic cross.
I'm glad neither of us are doing the man spread.
Oh, this.
Yeah, that's when I see people doing that, I just feel like they've never lived in New York City or had social awareness and are just like.
Especially, well, yeah, if you're touching knee to knee, that's when it's an issue.
Yeah, but people do that all the time. Like, I think it's, oh, I get it, because when you're a guy, you want to just have a little bit more comfort in the.
How do Carly and Aaron normally sit on our podcast? Good influences.
I feel like they sometimes will even like tuck a leg underneath. I feel like Carly sometimes does.
Like the Princess Diana, like you go down here, curve it to the side, and then even do a cross.
The Jiminy Glick, where he's just like,
he just like that's me on Unfiltered, because now we have this like we have that 60s style. Oh, what's the name of the type of couch? I forgot. I think it starts with a T.
A love seat?
No, it's a designer type seat. They're very very popular. It's a very like trendy girl couch to have.
Okay,
it looks like. I don't know, it almost looks like this weird kind of loaf of bread or something like that.
And so you have a couch to sit on.
Yeah, but where the couch like ends my legs, dude, I'm like Jiminy Glick. I have to take my shoes off and like sit crisscross applesauce.
I like that, though. I feel like it's a little more comfortable when you can really lean back, relax. But it's always good. I like that we have the monitor now, too. Previously, in every other set, we've never been able to see ourselves because we're just filming ourselves directly. But we now, in the new studio, have a screen so we can see. We also have, if you can see behind us, Matt, speak at the same time so the Autopod picks us up. Okay. So, speak at the same time as me.
Speaking at the same time as you right now.
Okay, so we're showing you now the widescreen angle here.
We're here at the same time.
Because the way we do the autopod, it shows the wide only when both of us are talking.
Oh.
And so that's how we're going to show our new backdrop with the Hoot and a Half here. Maybe we'll do a new piece of art back there. What do you think?
Oh, for sure. This is just like a last minute thing we're tossing up.
And I also wore the merch, our one-off merch that we did back in, what was it, 2020, 2021?
I think right about then, Mike.
It's highly coveted. People still ask for it. And it's, I think if you have one of these, it's pretty rare. We didn't sell that. I don't think we only did one round of it. So if you have a Hoot and a Half merch, thank you for purchasing that, because it was quite
a
limited run. One of a kind.
Dude, I'm having this zit on the side of my neck right now.
Yeah.
You called it out in the parking lot, and now I'm really thinking, could this be a spider bite?
Have you been touching it?
No, but I really do, I think, know that it's a zit. It usually happens if I, like, shaved, like, too low, and then I put on some aftershave, then you put on that facial lotion, and it just kind of,
How much goop are you putting on your face?
Not too much. I mean, I do a bit of a serum. Well, like, I have, if I shave, I put on my aftershave balm.
Are you shaving pre-shower or post-shower?
Post-shower, all the time.
And I'm also a post-shower shave.
Post-shower shave, yeah.
Interesting, okay.
Do most people shave before they go into the shower?
I don't know. I haven't seen anyone else's shave and shower routine.
Because after you shave, you should apply like a balm. Why would you apply your balm and then get in the shower and then the balm's off?
Well, I shave, then I shower, and then I put the balm on.
Okay, I guess I respect that. I guess I do, Mike.
Okay.
The thing is, I've been shaving a lot of Equinox because they give you free razors.
Oh, you're one of those?
But they're like two, but it's like, you know, the cheap, like, razor, where it's only two
That's
blades.
That's why you're getting zits, brother. You got to invest.
That's probably it. But, man, can you imagine if this is a spider bites, though, usually have two prongs on the top of it.
Because there's the fangs?
There's, like, a real big head to it.
You've been bit by a spider before?
No, but my friend got bit by a spider on his back, and it was really alarming, and I never forgot about it. But that'd be really cool if I got bit by a spider.
No, it would not.
I could get, like, special powers, man.
No, that's... Oh, God.
I still have never been stung by a bee, though.
So you could be allergic and you don't know.
I don't know.
You ever didn't?
I think by now, at 31 years old, that I probably have been stung by a bee and I just didn't know it.
No, you would know. You 100% would know.
Damn.
Because you have to take the stinger out.
I wonder if there's, like, if you're allergic to a bee sting, is there something else, though, that all people who are allergic to a bee sting are also allergic to? So...
Is it such a great question?
The bee venom?
Yeah, how do you find out if you're allergic? I think what happens is you start to blow up, maybe, like your lips and your body starts to, like.
Yeah. But if you go, I think you can get an allergy test, and then that's when they, like, put that big pricker grid on your back, and then they see what a pricker grid. Do you think I'm the first one to commission that phrase?
Is that the medical terminology?
You know, it's like a bed
grid
of nails, but they. It's a grid, and they all have a little bit of, you know,
I thought they were doing those individually.
If they're doing it individually, maybe they are doing it individually.
Oh,
and
you don't know this for a fact.
No.
You're thinking it's like a bed of nails that they put a little drop of something on and they just smack it on your back?
We should just call this podcast Jumping to Conclusions, because that's all I'm doing here.
Oh, so, okay, I thought maybe you had, like, known that this is how they do it. I don't know either. You might be right. It sounds like it could be.
Can you imagine you accidentally drop that, like...
On your foot?
Yeah. They just do it like at an off angle.
I don't know why that isn't like a standard medical thing. When you go to the checkup, they should do, like, when you're a kid, they should check everything. Because
mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm allergic to some stuff and that's why I'm tired all the time and I just don't know it. Like,
you should. You think you're tired all the time?
I'm always tired.
You should start taking a multivitamin.
I take so many vitamins.
You don't take... When did you just start taking a vitamin?
I've been taking vitamins for probably a good 2 years now.
You don't take Advil?
I don't take Advil.
Is there any Advil in your home?
No, there is. I have taken Advil a few times.
Okay.
Usually it's to help with hangovers if I ever have them.
Are you a one or a two Advil taker?
2 to 3.
2 to 3?
The max is 6 in 24 hours, so I can take like 3 in the morning and then 3 at night.
Patricia's like a two popper. I never did two.
Oh, no. I feel like if I take one, it's like not even taking it.
Oh, wow.
They seem so small. I also love the candy coating. You know the red ones that have like candy coating?
Yeah, they are a little sweet. Why do they make them sweet?
I don't know, but you like suck on them for a few minutes before you swallow them.
You suck on it?
Yeah, and then it gets like a little bitter and weird, and then I swallow it.
I'm going to go home and start sucking on some Advil pills.
Listen, we're not a medical show here. Do not take any medical advice from us. But
are you a big Tums guy?
Sometimes, if I'm getting, I don't really get the heartburn or indigestion a lot. You know what else I don't get is like stomach aches. Do you get tummy aches?
No, not that often. I used to get tummy aches pretty often, and I used to get like trap gas like pains. But, and I said this on Unfiltered, ever since I got my appendix removed, I haven't felt like sharp abdominal pains at all.
Yeah, I mean, you got excess removed.
And I also got a wife, and I think I've just been eating better at home.
Oh, interesting.
I think when I was like living on my own, I was very like, DoorDash it, eat the leftovers. I think
doing a lot of microwave stew that you make that stew at your house.
It wasn't a microwave stew. I cooked it like in an Instapot.
I'm saying you cooked in a crock pot and then you like meal prep for the week and you're heating up like beans, rice, and chicken in the microwave, which is probably pretty healthy.
It's pretty healthy.
No hate on meal prepping.
Did you watch the Grammys?
Yes, I did. Actually, Jack Coyne of Trackstar on TikTok fame was in LA and he called me and I was like, dude, come over and we watched the Grammys.
Jack Coyne was over?
Yeah. Him and the whole crew, him and his brother and Henry, that do the Trackstar show, which I think you would probably do really good on.
Trackstar is the, is it also a YouTube video or is it they just doing TikTok? Like,
no, they're on YouTube content. Shorts, TikTok, and Instagram Reels, and they're absolutely blowing up. It's
and
amazing.
And that's usually where they interview a guest. Sometimes
if you can name the artist, you win $5.
If you name the artist, you win $5. And either sometimes it's a person on the street, or now it seems like he's been getting like famous people.
Yeah, he's running into famous people on the street.
Damn. I know. I think I'd be pretty good on that. Are some of the people like sending it in advance being like,
I don't think so, because people lose. Like, not everyone wins every game. So I think I think Jack just has like playlists on his thing. And he says, what kind of music do you listen to? And then he'll find a playlist or he'll pick songs. I don't know.
Would you pocket the cash or would you donate it to a charity of
your
choice?
You have to donate it.
Which charity would you donate to?
I don't know. I don't have like one off the top of my head. I'd probably do some research, maybe something local, because I feel like that helps the most.
I've been in the market for a good charity, but I've been looking for a good charity. I'm really passionate about deaf kids. Like underprivileged deaf kids who are born deaf and that live out in the middle of nowhere and don't have access to proper education.
I met a girl who speaks fluent sign language.
ASL.
Yes, it was awesome.
And
she speaks with her hands a lot too.
Why did she learn it?
It was just like in middle school or high school, she had an elective and instead of doing Spanish, she did sign language.
And nobody's deaf in her life?
Nope, not at all.
What's her job?
She like works in medical something, doing something for physician's assistant, I think.
She only did this when she was like younger. Did she study
no, she
it
still
in
knows
college?
How to, I don't know, but she's still definitely really good at it. I was like asking her how to do it, and she was just right into it.
I was talking to, who's it, Sally Dar and Megan about this. Also, because I heard Moshe Kasher on someone's podcast
Jason's?
Recently. No, it was on Jason's. Might have been on Joe Rogan.
Okay.
Anyways, Moshe Kasher, that comedian, grew up with deaf parents. And
oh, really?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
So he had to be like a translator for his parents, like all growing up. And that's already a very interesting position to be in life, having to translate on behalf of your parents, especially in like the deaf community as well, because the deaf community is it's very small, but also has made so much progress over decades and decades and decades. Because for the longest time, people viewed deafness as a disorder, as like something wrong with you. It's not just a difference in communication.
Right.
And it's
what do you say? It's a difference, not a disability. Is that what they say?
Yeah. It's not a disability. It's a difference in communication.
Right.
And when I was in college, also, I took Perspectives of Deafness, a class in college. And about 25% of the class was deaf. Rest were hearing. We had also the translators as well, and we just learned so much about deafness. And the thing that just breaks my heart is that there are people out there who are born deaf whose parents don't want to teach it to them. It's just this kind of like made-up language that they have. They're not talking with anyone out there, and they become almost like mentally challenged from their own.
Because you're not communicating,
Communicating. So I just want to find a good nonprofit. But
if
then
you know a good
deaf
nonprofit, leave it in the comments below.
But my thing about ASL, it's like, I think sometimes people learn ASL because they think it's like this like cool like thing to
like a status thing.
Yeah. Well, it's not a status thing. It's like a bit of this novelty. Like, I want to learn ASL. If you're going to go learn ASL, go help out the community. Be a translator for those people. It's not like you're going to go study abroad to the land of ASL people and start like communicating with
them. People are doing it for the status, not to be a good person.
I just do good with it. And who knows, maybe you do learn ASL and you work at a Starbucks, someone comes in and thank goodness you know how to do it. But yeah, I just think if you're going to learn ASL, you should go help and volunteer.
Okay. How did we get to this topic?
We got to this. Well, I asked, did you watch the Grammys?
Oh, yeah. And then Jack Coyne and then Trackstar and then donating the money. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's bring it back. We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Rocket Money. If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list them all and how much you're paying? Because if you would have asked us this question before we started using Rocket Money, we would have said, yeah. But let me tell you, we were wrong, and we can't believe how much money we have been wasting.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I want, I can cancel it with a tap. I never have to get on a phone with customer service, which I hate to do.
They'll even try to get you a refund for the last couple of months of wasted money and negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
We love Rocket Money. Matt, you know how much we talk about it all the time. It's like a thing we talk about. Did you check your Rocket Money? How are you doing this month? How are you doing last month? We cannot recommend it enough. Use our code. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/hoot. That's rocketmoney.com/hoot. Go there, download Rocket Money, sign up for an account. That's rocketmoney.com/hoot, rocketmoney.com/hoot. And now, back to the episode. Oh, the reason why I think you would do really good on Trackstar is because you did that thing that you listened to every top 10 album of every year from a certain year through a certain year, right?
Top 10, yeah. I didn't really go by the Billboard top 10 because I think that's like a tough top 10 to go through because it's based on sales. And sometimes you're going to have to listen to like a weird comedy album from like the 60s or some
Steve Martin Live in Philadelphia.
Yes. Okay. There's a bunch of those. So I went through the Rolling Stones, like best 10 albums of every year.
Okay.
And I did that. But you know what? I've gone around and I tell people I did that. I think I like have stopped though in like the early 90s. I haven't finished.
To the fact that what year did you start? 60? 69?
60. You're the one who actually told me to do this challenge. And they say to start in the 60s because the 50s, it's a little repetitive.
It's all the same. Doo-wop and girl bands, boy bands. Yeah. But so you did that through the 90s?
No, I think I like stopped in the 90s.
Okay, but so if you did 80s and you played, do you think you, because your memory is also insane where you can remember like Disney Channel original commercials that aired one time, could you, if I gave you 80s, could you just name the artist?
Probably. I think so. Unless if they're a one-hit wonder, maybe not.
Yeah.
But I think I can identify most big artists. But you know what? But sometimes like heavy rock or like good. Like Led Zeppelin, if you're playing me a Led Zeppelin song, I couldn't tell you it's Led Zeppelin.
That's so interesting.
And maybe Def Leppard, I couldn't identify that.
Def Leppard?
Isn't it Def? Oh,
bringing Def it back Leppard. Around. I did watch the Grammys with Jack. It was super fun. So sick to see so many people we know win.
I think it was one of the best Grammys in a very long time.
It felt really good. Like a nice... what's the word I'm looking for? It felt very of the time. It didn't feel like they were trying to be cool. It didn't feel like they were too much nostalgia, too much of a throwback to things that like we don't really care about. It felt very of the time.
Yeah.
Except kind of sucks Noah Kahan didn't win Best New Artist.
I know. I was really rooting for him.
The girl who won is incredible and fantastic.
Victoria Monet?
Yeah. She's like unbelievably good.
I need to listen to her stuff.
But just, I feel like... I don't know. I feel like he will be back next year and win something else.
Of course.
Just too of the moment.
Do you listen to his song that he did with Sam Fender?
No. Do
you know who Sam Fender is?
No.
Oh my gosh. He's this incredible artist. I'm pretty sure he's from England.
Okay.
Or he may be Irish. I'm pretty sure he's English. He's like a Bruce Springsteen kind of, like a rocker. He's like good looking, great rock, plays the guitar. They did a collab. Kicks ass, man.
I wanted to go back to tummy aches.
Okay, let's go back to the tummy aches.
So many people get tummy aches, especially Jewish people. This is what I'm learning. go ahead.
No. I don't want to be like, I know. Yeah, I think this is true.
I kind of remember it now, and like, there's also the thing about like hot girls get tummy aches, which is like okay. But I was talking to Brooke Averick. We went to Latte Larry's, the Curb Your Enthusiasm pop up that they did at my friend Derek and Val, they own the coffee shop Minotti's. There's two of them, one in Culver City and one in Venice. If you're ever there, go to Minotti's Coffee. They're the best. And Curb Your Enthusiasm just came out, and they're doing a collab with Minotti's to, like, do a pop-up shop of Latte Larry's, which was, like, on the show. He had a store that was called Latte Larry's. They serve coffee, whatever. It was super fucking cool. But I'm just, like, kind of sitting there with Brooke. We're eating a scone. We're having a coffee. And Brooke was like, oh, yeah, I don't know if I'm, like, down to go out tonight or something because I have a tummy ache. And I was like, I feel like I haven't heard someone have a tummy ache in a long time. And she's like, how? You've never had a tummy ache? And I was like, I literally can't remember the last time. But now I'm thinking about it. Every, like, Jewish person I know, their stomach is always just like, ah, oh, my stomach's kind of hurting. I can't eat this. Like, Ben Kahn can't eat anything. He's always on, you know, he's like, he's always on the toilet for some reason. And there's just like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like the Ashkenazi Jewish diet doesn't fit with the American culture, but I'm just so blessed. I don't think about it. Like, I don't have any, like, ooh, I don't feel like going out.
Do you
out.
Say tummy ache or stomach ache?
I would say my stomach hurts because I feel like I'm an adult.
Yeah, I think that would give a girl an ick if you said tummy ache.
I have a tummy ache? Yeah, no.
But now that I'm married, I can say tummy ache all the time to my wife.
Oh, you say you want to be a little bit of a...
I got a tummy ache. I never say
I like
this.
Saying my stomach hurts. There are some turns of phrases that I don't like saying them.
Okay.
Like, when people say my ex, that gives me I cringe at that.
Like, my ex, girlfriend, boyfriend?
Yes. I don't like when people say my ex. I feel like they're just trying to, like, I had someone that I dated, actually, and there's, like, a lot of drama there, and don't ask about it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, you don't need to refer to this person as your ex, like, as if this is this character that I need to now ask you about.
What's the better phrasing then? Oh, this person I used to date?
That's exactly the right phrase that I say.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think if you say your ex, like, you're still, like, holding on to it in a weird way. Like,
there's a weight to that.
Full closure, though. But I would say, though, for people, they should be able to call someone, like, their ex for about a couple of years. If you're still getting over it, if you're still, like, in a mourning period, because I think your brain really needs to know that is your ex. It has been exed. It is in the past.
I guess. It's just such a cringe phrase to me. Oh, yeah, my ex used to take me there. Like, shut. First of all, don't bring them up. Like, I think that's what it is. It's that they're on the tip of your tongue.
Now, does the ex qualify as the last person you dated or someone that, like, what if it's a person who was, like, your ex? Like,
I would never use it, but I think people use it. I feel like people use it for anyone that they've dated, that they call anyone that they've dated their ex. And I really think it's, like, people do it for clout and, like, status and to make it, like, they have a whole web of information that you don't know about.
Like, it all depends on the context of who you're talking to and how many people you're addressing and what the conversation is. Like,
you would use my ex in a conversation.
If I was having a beer with you and maybe, like, one of your friends that I don't know very well, and I'm telling a story, I'm like, oh, hey, my ex, like, blah, 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 blah.
If there was
five people, I'd be like, oh, this person I dated, yada, yada, yada.
Interesting.
That's how
I hear it, it just triggers this thing of, like, oh, you're looking for me to ask you more about that. And I just don't.
Yeah.
We don't need to be talking about this. Uh-huh. Especially if I'm, like, on a date with someone or, like, me and my ex, I'm just like, ugh, they're still
top of mind. It up on the date.
Not even bringing it up, but, like, maybe I'll ask something about, like, oh, how's your, like, dating life been? And they say my ex, and it's just like, there's just a weight to it.
How far into dating somebody do you ask, so how many people, like, have you dated in the past, or have you ever had a serious relationship before? Because sometimes I feel like that's a really big question to ask somebody.
I don't think I would ask that. I just go, what's your body count? No, I don't. No, I never do that. I do like to go a little, I go maniac mode on first dates sometimes because you got to just, like, weed out stuff, and I just don't have time to wait 3-4 dates to find out. So I just go, like, where do you stand politically? And, like, that's one of them, which
you're leading for that right out of the gate.
Not right out of the gate, but, like, if I feel like I might see this person again within the first 30 minutes to an hour, I need to know how they stand politically.
Well, don't you already have your political affiliations on your dating profile?
Not necessarily.
Oh.
Not okay. Every, yeah.
What does yours say? Just, like, liberal?
I don't, probably. Okay. Yeah. But that's only one of them has that. Raya doesn't have that.
Okay, but if a girl has said liberal on it, you already know that.
No, that's better.
But are you still going to bring the politics up on the date to see how heavy she goes?
And it's not even to, like, judge, because I also, as you know, am pretty persuasive politically because I really believe I, like, do my research and know the way that I think about the world, I think, is the way most people do think about the world.
Uh-huh.
But policy and politicians don't necessarily reflect that, and political parties definitely don't reflect that. So I just kind of want to get a sense of, like, more so how politically aware and engaged they are, more so than, like, whatever. But if someone is super, super different from me, then I'm like, okay, this is going to take some work.
Okay, well, then what if she just doesn't know that much?
That's better. I like
even
that.
Even better.
Yeah.
What if she knows more than you? Is that even better?
I would love that. I would love that. Because I would
put
love
you in your place?
Yeah, or just have like a debate and I can ask questions like, well, what's like, what would be the policy about, I don't know, gun rights on a state-by-state basis in the federal, like, I don't know. Just things that I haven't really explored and someone who knows more than me, I love to learn. Bring it on.
Did you see who's running for Congress? Or District 30?
No.
Ben Savage. From Boy Meets World.
I did see that now that you mentioned it.
Running for Congress. I don't know who he's running against, but...
Interesting. Are you going to vote in the...
Of course. My mail-in ballot has already arrived.
So did mine, but the mail like fell out of the mailbox, and all of my mail is soaked in rain right now.
Oh, no.
It's a little concerning. I was thinking about this. Why aren't letters made with like anti-wet technology?
Just laminate it.
Yeah, laminate the inside of every letter. How much more... Like, it's... I have a week's worth of mail that's ruined because if I don't open the mailbox, it just pops through.
I think you need a better mailbox then.
I know, I do. It's a whole thing.
Before you go on a date with this woman of interest, how far do you creep back on her Instagram?
Zero.
You don't even do it?
No,
come
I don't
want
to know. I don't want
to
know.
Not even back to see like the past type of guy she dated?
Oh, definitely not. I don't think my Instagram is a good reflection of like, I mean, I try to think it is, but I don't think. Especially because like you and I are very social media aware.
Yeah.
Most people, I don't think about social media in the same way that you and I do. And they don't look at it as a representation of themselves. And I don't want to take it as that.
Okay.
So like sometimes if I see someone's Instagram and it's like, God, I'm sounding like such a douchebag. But if it's like kind of cringy.
Yeah.
I don't want to think that I like that person's cringe. Because if you and I like saw someone posting this shit, we'd be like, geez. That's kind of cringe, but I know that not everyone thinks about it the same way that we do.
For me, it's not even like the Instagram like vibe. I would just want to see like what type of person she like dated before.
Oh, you're looking specifically for the ex?
For the guy to see like, can he compete?
Did you catch that? The ex?
Oh, the ex. There you go. Or like, it was funny, Patricia, she had a bunch of pictures of her with a guy, and it was her friend Drew, and he's like, he's a good looking man. He looks like Anderson Cooper.
Okay.
But I think he was like on private for the longest time. I thought that this was her ex, and then I finally got to know her, and I go, oh, he's gay.
So you're doing it more to see, can you... No, I don't want to know any of that.
I think people have types, and you just want to see, like, would I even be this girl's type
I'm just
if this
so,
is the last person she dated? Like, what if, you
know? I'm just so dumb, blind, confident that, like, I don't think it matters. They could have dated Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm going to come in, I'm going to bring the heat, and it's going to be great.
Okay.
But the tummy ache thing is just... I've just been thinking about it every day. Like,
but is it a bit of a red flag though? If what are we turning into? Just this guys talk about girls podcast.
You're asking questions.
But I do feel like if a girl's like a tummy ache though, like every week, that's like
I have read, and this is I know people are gonna not like this, but it also is a symptom of like narcissistic personality disorder. When someone just it's not necessarily a tummy ache. But I've definitely noticed this in more than one person that I've known, that they just always have an ailment that they're complaining about.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like, oh, my back's hurting today, or like, oh, my jaw's just really hurting today, or oh, I have such a headache today, or my every day there's some ailment, and it's because they need themselves to be the center of attention, and they need the sympathy, they need someone else to be caring about them, and so they're presenting you with like ailments that may or may not be feeling it, but that is a red flag, I would say.
Speaking of tummy aches, I have this on here. When people say that there is a pit in your stomach, when people say, I feel like I have a pit in my stomach,
yeah.
Do you believe that is like a bottomless pit in your stomach or like a peach pit in your stomach?
I have never actually thought about what the meaning of that is. I never visualized it. I just think it's like the feeling when you're on a roller coaster and you do the drop.
Okay.
It's the same thing as if like someone tells you like, I have really bad news, and you just feel like your stomach just
has flipped and turned over.
I think about it like the roller coaster drop. Like your stomach like sort of goes weightless and it like empties out, and it's like, but I know the phrase pit in your stomach. I think it's just like that feeling of, oh shit, something bad is about to happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've always viewed it as like a pit. Like something you didn't mean to swallow, but it's sitting there.
Yes. There's
I
almost think it's like if there was a pit of a watermelon, but it's like the size of your stomach. Like
watermelons have pits, they have seeds. There's a pit to a watermelon.
I'm saying
Mike?
the size of a watermelon proportionally. If a watermelon had a pit proportional to like a peach pit, that's the size of a pit that I would envision in the stomach.
Yeah.
And it's like your whole stomach. Great question. How'd you come up with that?
I think I saw a TikTok about it. I was like, that's pretty interesting. I wonder if Mike like has any takes on it.
That's a good one. Have you seen the guy who is tracking all the icks that girls have?
No.
It's basically
tracking it. Like what? He's conducting like a research?
No.
Like,
it'll start with a girl just being like, yeah, if I just see like a guy jumping over a puddle, that gives me the ick. And then it cuts and it's a stitch and then it goes to his notes app and he scrolls all the way down and it's like number 658, guy jumping over a puddle. And you can see the list of all the ones that he's had before. It's like, if he likes you too much, if he doesn't like you enough, if he calls his mom, if he smiles too much, when he laughs, like every single thing that you could do. I just think it's kind of funny that they're at like 600 something now.
Oh, Patricia, though, she'll catch me in times like if I'm just like in my underwear, but I'm just like seated really silly.
Like very girly.
She'll like even snap a pic. And I'm like, what are you doing with that? Don't share that on.
You don't want the
audience.
She
also has like her really close friends like group chat on Snapchat story.
Okay.
And I realize she posts these things making fun of me and I've been very unaware of it. And
how do you feel about that?
I sometimes tell her, I'm like, I really wish you would stop sharing my embarrassing faults to everybody else. Because if she does something embarrassing, I'm not going privately to another audience going, can you get a load of this?
And what was her response when you asked her?
She was like, I'm not going to share it. I'm not going to share it.
Okay.
I was like, okay.
We'll be right back after Quicker from today's sponsor, Talkspace. Life can sometimes get you down and it can affect you in a number of ways. You know what? It would be helpful if you could talk to a therapist, but if you're not sure how to get started, Talkspace has made it easy to find a therapist that you'll like. It's convenient to meet online, at home, where you're most comfortable. Talkspace has made a huge difference in the lives of so many people.
And what I love about Talkspace is how accessible and affordable it is. And you may be a person who thinks seeing a therapist or a psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't have the time to actually find one and meet with them or even afford them. So try Talkspace by doing everything online. Talkspace has made getting the help you want easy, accessible, and affordable.
Some people wait until something bad happens to talk to a therapist, but why wait? You can get a therapist through Talkspace, and therapy can help you shift your perspective, find tools to cope in difficult times, and be a guiding light. But getting started is the important part, and Talkspace makes it easy and affordable.
And with Talkspace, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that is right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your own home.
Talkspace can help with any specific challenges you might be facing. It's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, and so much more. Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest end-to-end bank-grade encryption technology to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations.
And as a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to talkspace.com/HH. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/HH to get $80 off your first month and to show your support of the show. That is Talkspace.com/HH.
Now, back to the episode.
You know Charlie Brown?
Classic American character. Watch anytime he is on, there's a holiday. I put the Charlie Brown special of the holiday on.
The Christmas special.
There's a Christmas special. There's a Halloween special. There's a Thanksgiving special. There's a fall special.
There's not a Hanukkah special.
Of course there isn't, Matt.
His name is Charles Schulz. Isn't that?
No, Charles Schulz is the CEO of Starbucks, I think. Right?
Who invented peanuts?
Am I thinking about two different people?
Maybe. I thought his last name was Schulz.
Let's see. Ask your question in the meantime.
Okay, but it's about Charlie Brown.
I'm listening.
Specifically, and his head. What? What is it? Did we both get it wrong?
No, I Googled peanuts inventor, and it comes up with George Washington Carver. He didn't invent peanuts. He invented peanut butter, but Jesus, that's really good. Okay. Sorry.
Comic strip.
Charles Schulz. You're right.
Charles Schulz.
Okay, so hold on. Let's see, who is the CEO of Starbucks? What? Why do I think it was some other guy named Schulz? Howard Schulz. He was the founder, maybe? Okay, different guy. Go ahead. What's your Charlie Brown question?
Charlie Brown's... Describe what's on, like, the top of his head.
Okay, I'm going to go from the bottom up. He's got the shirt.
Yes.
It's a yellow shirt with the black vertical angled stripes. He's bald, but I believe he has one strand of hair that is sort of like in an unfinished figure eight.
So you so you think Charlie Brown's hair is one?
He has one piece of hair,
a squiggle line. You know, it's not really one squiggle line. It was originally supposed to represent just the tuft of his hair.
The tuft,
like, or what you know, like. So,
like
way
a batch
he
of
originally
hair?
Doodled. So over time, it like the that little squiggly line of hair
got
was
thinner
supposed
thinner?
To represent just like the bushel at the end of his hair.
Okay,
and then people started interpreting that as actually the just it's one squiggly line. So much to the point where like the Charlie Brown movie that CGI won, it was just one squiggly hair.
Are there any
go back to the first Peanuts comics, it's really just like a tuft of hair.
Is that available for viewing? Like, have you seen it?
What are you talking about?
Have you seen the original drawing where it
yes,
actually
I have.
So you're saying that the drawing hasn't changed over time?
It did slowly change over time, but the squiggly line was just supposed to represent like,
but it's only one line. It is one line of hair.
Yes, but it's supposed to represent like he did have like other hair there.
I like
and it's it's something that has changed over time, but the original artist's intent was that it was not supposed to be interpreted as this one single hair on the top of his head.
I like that they have that dirty kid on the show.
Pigpen?
I can't remember, but the kid who always has like a cloud of dust around him?
Yeah.
I feel like that's like pretty good representation because some people, just like kids, just grow up in households that like they just don't have.
Yeah, what was his story? Did he not come from like a good home? Like,
I,
no one else like ever invited him over to take a shower or
yeah.
anything?
I think it's like a like neglected child. Like it's he's representing neglected children. I think it's good representation, but I feel like you don't see that anymore where it's just like a real depressing look at the reality of society. Like everything's so
I also feel like that was like a common thing too in like cartoons where like in Peanuts you never saw the adults and anytime they did speak it was like wah wah wah
yes.
wah wah.
Yes.
And then I feel like for other cartoons like Ed and Eddie,
they cut the parents' heads off.
Ed and Eddie, though, the adults never were in the show. That's why some people think that Ed and Eddie is a conspiracy theory that all of them are kids in purgatory. Because they all have green tongues. They all represent a different kid of the decade.
That was my favorite show. I was a huge Ed and Eddie head.
What is the first thing that comes to your mind? Buttered toast.
And Plank?
And Plank.
I made a Plank.
He represents the Great Depression.
How so?
Because the only toy he has is like a little like Plank.
And, wow.
And then, you know, you have the hippie girl from the 60s and you have the greedy guy from like the 30s.
I got to do a deep dive. I also loved Powerpuff Girls,
yes.
Johnny Bravo, Ed and Eddie, all those like they were called cartoons.
Hey there.
Sugar Mama. It was just pure misogyny. It
was
insane.
Mama, what are you doing? Topping recipes? Isn't that like a Johnny Bravo line?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did Johnny Bravo do? What was his job?
He was a lifeguard, I think. He was always surf. He was always on the beach running with his surfboard. I think he was a lifeguard.
He wasn't like a movie star or anything.
I think he wanted to be an actor, and he fancied himself as a movie star, but I think he was a lifeguard, and that's why he was always on the beach talking to hot mamas.
Does he save the day in every episode of
no,
Johnny
he always,
Bravo?
No, he always gets punched in the face by a girl in the end. Like, he was just bad at the game, but he was so confident that he just never got him down. He was the ultimate, just like original, confident, dumb.
Did
bro.
He ever take off his sunglasses?
Oh God, that's such a good. That's like a good trivia night question.
Yeah.
Did Johnny Bravo ever take off his sunglasses? I don't know, but I loved in. I think the idea also in Tom and Jerry, like if there was ever a person in the show, it would you only see their legs.
Yes,
and then the top of their heads were cut off. Also, the same in
Dexter's Lab, but Dexter's Lab was originally like that, and then they finally showed the parents' heads.
Yes, but I think the idea of like Peanuts was the parents are
because
kids just don't like the whole idea of the show is you're escaping into a world where you don't need to worry about what parents are saying. It's like fully immersive for the child to be emerged in the world.
Isn't it true that the guy who was like the composer for Peanuts, who was it, Vince Guaraldi?
Yes, brilliant jazz piano player.
Was he a massive drunk too?
Probably. I love his albums. Like he has such good albums. He's got good collaborations with other jazz artists. He's one of the best of all time.
And then, oh, the guy who did play Charlie Brown did die.
What do you mean the guy? Like the guy with the voice actor?
Mm-hmm. The child. They were all children.
Well, I mean, this is like in the 60s, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you have a kid, are you going to, like, my view would be I want them to watch like the things that I watched when I was a kid. Mr. Rogers, Thomas the Tank Engine.
Arthur.
Like
Mr. Rogers.
Dude, that show is, I watch it as an adult and it's unbelievable.
I do think it's pretty beautiful, but like I don't even trust the attention span of like a kid in the future.
But so, that's the point.
Mr. Rogers put me to sleep as a kid.
I mean, it, dude, it's so wholesome.
It
and
really
just
is.
The truths of life and empathy and just the way that he speaks. I don't know. I think it's just.
Oh, I'm
a
playing
shame
Arthur
that
though all day for sure.
Arthur's
I love
a good one.
Arthur.
That was that. I would watch that first
Did
thing.
Did you
in
watch
the morning.
Wishbone?
No, I missed
What's
that one.
What's the story? Wishbone.
Missed that one.
That was a pretty good show. That made me like learn some like classic American history. It was like Drunken History, but for kids. But they just put a dog in it.
Did you ever watch Courage the Cowardly Dog?
Yes. My dad hated that show. That was like one like I had on and my dad goes, what the hell is this?
It's insane. It is insane.
That show wasn't like for kids. It was for like stoners.
Yeah. There was a couple of those like Ren and Stimpy.
Cow and Chicken.
Yeah. Oh my God. I loved Cow and Chicken. Cat Dog was maybe a little bit more.
That was, yeah.
A little more child friendly. Ren and Stimpy was psycho. Cow and Chicken was
Rocko's
psycho.
Modern World.
Modern Life. Never really watched that one.
No, I didn't either.
Okay, what else is on your list?
Okay, did you know Lincoln Logs were actually invented by Frank Lloyd Wright?
Not
Frank Lloyd Wright. Frank Lloyd Wright's son.
Okay.
And he made them in spite of his dad. So Frank Lloyd Wright and Frank Lloyd Wright Jr. went to Japan to go work on this hotel. And they didn't get along. They got in this big, massive fight with one another. And Frank Lloyd Wright was like, all right, screw you, Dad. He goes back, and the technique of these interlocking beams that they were building the hotel with, he was like, I'm just going to make a miniaturized version of that as like little toy beams made out of wood and patent that and then sell them as Lincoln Logs. And he made millions and millions of dollars.
Really?
Yeah. I just never knew that Lincoln Logs were invented by Frank Lloyd Wright's
It
son.
Makes sense that the DNA and genetics of someone to invent something that's constructive and world building and mm-hmm. like Legos, but more, I don't know.
Have you ever been inside a Frank Lloyd Wright house?
Maybe, but I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
You should go to one sometime.
Have you tried the Vision Pro yet?
No, I haven't. I bopped into the store just to like touch it.
Oh, do they have one just on display?
They have tons on display, but you can't put them on and then you have to book an appointment to put
to
it
try
on.
It on.
And I just
see.
Wanted to touch it to see like, does this feel like $3,000?
$3,500 plus tax, bud. I don't know. I really want to try it. I might go to David's house this week and see if he'll let me try his.
Yeah, I just saw David the other night. He said, yeah, come over and try it.
Yeah, I really want to try it.
It does look kind of cool.
They did. I saw they did the advertisement, movie theater on a plane. We talked about this at one of the parties over the weekend with Will and Kev.
Yeah.
That like the idea of having an IMAX movie theater on a flight, and that's literally one of their advertisements was like, have a movie theater everywhere.
Hopefully it like, charges really well on the flight. But or I guess, the battery only lasts an hour and a half. Two hours.
But you can hot swap the battery. Actually, no, you can't. I think... It's a good question. I actually don't know what the battery... Can you, like, plug that battery into another charger? Yeah, you have to be able to. You have to be able to charge that battery. You probably charge that battery with USB-C, so if you bring another power bank, like another brick, you can plug that brick into the battery, and then you get more charge.
I just like the...
Or it's like a laptop on an airplane. You plug it into the little thing in the seat beneath you.
I never trust... I mean, I still kind of charge things. I just don't think, like, that type of device would be able to, like, get that much power.
Yeah, it would. The biggest problem is those... Charge. The plugs
with the damn airplane
airplane plugs in the middle of the seats, they're so like used and worn out, they're like so wide that everything just falls out of them.
That's the worst. Yeah, when you use like the big
the
like
brick
laptop
and it's just
charger.
And they're angled downward. They're angled downward.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, so that's why they always fall out. So what else is on your mind, Matt?
I'm excited. Vampire Weekend is teasing their new album.
Did you see the potential new title?
Yes, wait, it's, May God... Oh
Only
my,
God is above us.
That's right.
Did you read the whole backstory and the whole thing on the Reddit?
Well, I know that the clip that they posted on their Instagram is from a short film or a film that's, like, filmed around New York City in, like, the 70s and okay. stuff. And then that is, like, a still from it where there's a newspaper and that's what, people are believing the acronym that they're teasing on their caption is on the newspaper,
well,
right?
Yes.
Is that right?
I think the newspaper said on it, Only God is above us. And
yes.
That's from some article about, I can't remember. I think it was like an airplane where the roof blew off and someone on the airplane their quote was, yes. "And only God was above us," which is like such a sick visual to think about. I think this album is going to be awesome.
I think so too. And a lot of people, yeah, were like worried about this like Raga inspired stuff, but they did more research.
By a lot of people, you mean you?
No, just people in the subreddit.
Okay.
The fans, it's like the big group of where they're talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And apparently, though, he really only like he took some lessons on how to do it, and people interpreted that the whole album would be like that. But this sounds a lot like Modern Vampires of the City, which is one of
I think it's going to be incredible.
I'm really excited.
Would you go see them if they play live?
Of course. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? They're actually playing a few festivals around this summertime.
That'll be nice.
So I'll definitely be seeing that. What's new with you? What's on your mind?
Adam leaves for tour. So I'll have the house to myself for about 6 weeks.
What kind of tour is he doing? North America?
He's opening for now Grammy Award winner Leve in Europe.
Wow.
Yeah.
In Europe?
Yeah.
We should go see him on a show. I think I'm going to skip Coachella, though, this year.
I fully support that.
Unless we get a brand deal. But I really want to go to South Korea.
Instead of Coachella?
Mm-hmm.
Like that week?
Because mm-hmm.
everyone's just going to be out of town and you're not going to be missing any parties?
No. I will have no FOMO of Coachella because I'll be in South Korea.
Do you want to go to Japan again first or Korea?
Patricia and I, we did talk about that, but I think I'll definitely visit Japan again in the future. But right now, I think we should go venture to the other places, have a little bit more wanderlust of the world before, you know, life really kicks in big time.
What do you mean by that?
Like having kids and stuff.
Right. We also need to book our South by Southwest flights.
That's right.
If anyone's going to be at South by Southwest, let us know.
Let us know. Get us on the list. Bring us to the party. Show us what you got to offer, Austin.
We should make this a TikTok just so we can get more views on it.
We should do a South by Southwest podcast.
Jack Coyne is speaking at South by Southwest, too.
Oh, about...
I think just about Trackstar and TikTok and social media in general.
Well, hell yeah.
Yeah. That's I'm excited good. For South by. Then we're going to go to... a wedding in England, let's just say.
Oh, yeah. We should tell people whose it is.
That'll
are you
going to
bring
cool.
a date?
That is, it was my goal last year. I didn't hit that goal. I'm going to try and do it again for this year.
Yeah, the clock's kind of ticking. Now's I know. The time where, like, you can't just, like, actually, though.
I really wanted to bring a date to your wedding because I had those two in the summer. Missed that, and then...
Yeah, but you were like a groomsman, though, too.
No, I know, but it would have been ideal to have someone that would have already been ingrained in the friend group and, like, know everybody, and then...
It's a good way to tell if you really... if the relationship is going to work out, though, by taking a big trip together as a couple.
I completely agree. It's a good... And I'm the fucking best on trips. I know you don't think so because I don't like to wake up super early, but...
Oh,
when we like go on the plane and stuff, we've traveled a lot together. I think I'm pretty good.
No, yeah, no.
And if I'm in like a date mode, I'm even better.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're a great traveler.
Thank you.
Of course, man.
So are you. So are you. Cool. Well, hope you guys like the new set.
Yes. This is a very exciting new chapter. We are so happy to have you guys here. Make sure to check out all of our other episodes as well and check out Good Influences too.
Well, we'll see you next week, everybody.
Toodles.
Bye.
Yep.